Good morning, and thank you for joining me on the Path to Liberty. It is Monday morning, August 19th, 2019. I really appreciate you spending a little time with me, and I apologize for those of you who are waiting for the live stream for getting underway. About 15 minutes late, had some technical difficulties that I think are resolved on this end. So here we go. So today we're talking about the unconstitutional mass warrantless surveillance program, the powers that were supposedly authorized. They're not legal, even though that they were passed and signed by a president and implemented by multiple ones from the Patriot Act and then reauthorized and amended under the so-called USA Freedom Act. Well, these are set to expire at the end of the year, sometime in December. And surprise, 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 the administration now is pushing Congress not just to reauthorize them for a few years, but to make them permanent. Mass warrantless surveillance, violating the Fourth Amendment hundreds of millions of times, if not billions of times a year, permanent. But first of all, before getting to that, my name is Michael Bolden. We broadcast live every single Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time. I'll put an asterisk on that in case I'm running late. We have all of our archives over at 10thamendmentcenter.com/pathtoliberty. That's where you can catch all the previous episodes. You can find all the platforms we're on, whether it's a live stream or an archive through YouTube, Facebook, DLive, Periscope, Twitch, BitChute, Brighteon.com, and of course we have the podcast edition at iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, Google, and elsewhere. Again, it's 10thamendmentcenter.com/pathtoliberty. And before getting to the show, I do want to say hello in the live chat, if I can get this pulled up. Here we go. There's a bunch of people out here. Ward Lawrence, Larry Clark, Justin Bayola, Atomic Adam, Andrew Nappy, The Austrian Watchman, No Thanks. I like that screen name. EHP Training, good to see you as well. Dan Reed and everyone else over, Larry Clark over on YouTube. And if this is working over on Facebook, it is not yet. I will just try to reload it in a little bit. But let's get into this. So on Friday morning, I saw this tweet from Trevor Tim, who I follow, who does a lot of really good work on press freedom and also over on surveillance issues. And he says, so the government has admitted this mass surveillance program is ineffective. And I'll go into just what program it is. They've also admitted it has repeatedly collected more phone records of Americans than it is legally authorized to do. So it says it doesn't work, doesn't stop terrorism. It's cumbersome. They can't even follow what the so-called limitations were under the USA Freedom Act, and they keep collecting more and more. It's burdensome. It's a problem. And yet, they're still asking for a permanent authorization, reauthorization of those same authorities. That's got to tell you a lot. Let's get into what exactly is going on. A few months ago, back in March, the NSA supposedly had shut this program down. And I think there was a lot of question on whether or not this was true. There was a report from the New York Times talking about how there was this podcast from a guy named Luke Murray. This was the House Minority Leader's national security advisor, said that the NSA had not been using the Section 215 under the Patriot Act, this call records program, to sweep up everyone's communications by phone. There are other authorities and other programs that they have. And so a lot of people were thinking, man, this is really positive news. It's a real problem. Or maybe they just decide this is a bad choice. Or the USA Freedom Act told them it was illegal. And they're just saying, well, we better not violate the law anymore. And this is what the New York Times, Charlie Savage, who actually does really good reporting on this, said back in March, the agency has not used the system in months, and the Trump administration might not ask Congress to renew its legal authority, which is set to expire at the end of the year, according to the aide, Luke Murray, the House Minority Leader's national security advisor. So I did an episode covering this specific issue here, because a lot of people were telling me, oh, this so-called phone record program, this warrantless surveillance program, it's going to be gone. It doesn't work. It's too cumbersome. And it's probably not, they're not even going to ask for a reauthorization. I did issue a bit of a warning just a few days later in this episode. Don't believe reports claiming the NSA surveillance shut down. I'm not going to get into real a lot of detail on this right now, but I do want to just highlight this particular episode in case you want to go back and check another one out for a little bit more detail. That link will be in the show notes over at 10thAmendmentCenter.com/path to liberty. And basically, the point that I made in that episode was that even if Section 215 of the Patriot Act was totally gone, it really wouldn't make much of a difference. It's not as if the NSA would find the people who work there would be finding a different job, or they would just be focusing on a handful of potential terrorists, and they wouldn't be sweeping up communications of not everyone just in the United States, but basically everyone on Earth. And I talked about a couple of different authorities that they rely on, Section 702. And also Executive Order 12333, and I think 12333 is what they call it. That one is the most dangerous. So please check out that episode when you have a chance. It's like 35, 40 minutes, and it'll give you a lot of detail. If not, at least just go to the link, and you can read through. If you're watching the video here, you can see there is literally about a dozen things that you can read through here to get a little bit more detail on this as well. So we're told that the program is shut down. I explain that it doesn't even matter. Then the follow-up is supposedly the NSA is going to recommend not even renewing it. This was a few weeks later in April of this year, CNET, and it looks like the Wall Street Journal reported, quote, "The National Security Agency has recommended the White House abandon a controversial program that collects and analyzes data on millions of Americans' domestic calls and texts," the Wall Street Journal reported Wednesday. So this would have been like April 22nd or so. And this was supposedly a dramatic reversal. They were going to end this program. But the reason that they were going to end the program, supposedly, was that it was just too cumbersome. They weren't getting the results that they wanted. And this is how they put it. "The program, which was put in place after the 2001 terrorist attacks, has legal and logistical burdens that outweigh its value to national security." And I have an issue, a longstanding issue, with this type of argument. For example, I've brought this up in regards to facial recognition surveillance. A lot of people make the claim that facial recognition surveillance should be stopped because it does a bad job. It needs to be stopped because it misidentifies people of color more often than Caucasians. And that in and of itself is a problem. But if that's your only problem with it, eventually they're going to solve the technological issues with it, and it's not going to misidentify people of color, and then you don't have a leg to stand on because your only complaint has been about racial issues rather than the philosophical principle that no matter what someone's race or someone's background is, they should not be spied on without a warrant. The government should not warrant based on probable cause, mind you. The government shouldn't be doing this no matter what. And the same goes, I had a tweet just before the show started to the Cato Institute. They were talking about the war in Afghanistan, saying there's a problem with it because no matter how they do it, it just can't be won under a so-called reasonable cost. And a lot of people and a lot of organizations focused on the cost or the effectiveness of a program. But when you've got a program like mass warrantless surveillance or an unconstitutional war or facial recognition, it doesn't matter if it works or not. It's wrong because it's wrong to do. It's wrong because it's a violation of the Constitution in the first place. And it doesn't matter how you can argue whether it's cost effective or it does the job or it helps catch people. None of that actually matters. The bottom line is the NSA shouldn't have this authority. We could make the argument that the NSA shouldn't even exist. So they're claiming that the program has legal and logistical burdens. And then because of that, they stopped using it. They hadn't been using that particular program in months. Now, the ACLU came out around that same time with a very interesting article covering some of the detail of Section 215. And here from Nima Singh Giuliani, interesting last name, In 2013, Edward Snowden revealed that the NSA had been collecting the phone records of virtually every single American, relying on a twisted interpretation of Section 215 of the Patriot Act. The information collected by the government included who called whom, when, and for how long. And amid outrage from the public and a federal appeals court decision finding that the program was unlawful. This was just one appeals court. This has not been struck down by the entire court system, and we shouldn't rely on the courts to do that. Congress voted in 2015, she writes, to end the nationwide collection of all Americans' call records and to institute other needed reforms. But under the newly constituted program, the NSA collected over 600 million records in 2017 alone. Now, mind you, this is far less than billions and billions per month. They did actually narrow it down. But even under this narrowed approach, the NSA itself is saying, well, we're just collecting so much data, we can't sift through it, and it's not really useful. So maybe we should get rid of it. At least that's the propaganda we were told a few months ago. And of course, then what happens? What happens from there? Of course they're going to flip-flop, like a flip-flopping on being the Second Amendment president and then coming to grab guns, on being anti-interventionist but continuing all the horrible wars from the Obama administration and before. Of course, this is going to be another flip-flop. The flip-flop on the Fourth Amendment. There was a lot of talk about how the Obama administration used surveillance. There was the FISA memo about how they were using surveillance against the campaign, and this was going to be a problem. Maybe some people were telling me that, well, you know, they felt the effect in this administration of unconstitutional surveillance. And so, therefore, the odds of it going away are very high, Michael. And I'm like, no, don't trust these people. They cannot be relied upon. They always want more power. No one ever gets rid of government programs in Washington, D.C. And when they do, it's like the Obamacare garbage that we've been fed, repeal and replace. They want to just give us a different version of it. That's basically what happened with the so-called USA Freedom Act. Because, of course, Obama was against this mass surveillance from the Bush administration. And it just is the same story with different names from administration to administration, year in and year out. And so this was actually a Thursday night report, again, from Charlie Savage over at the Times. Quote, breaking a long silence about a high-profile national security agency program that sifts records of Americans' telephone calls and text messages in search of terrorists. That's a propaganda statement there, Charlie. Unless we're all terrorists, maybe that's the way that they're defining it. The Trump administration on Thursday acknowledged for the first time that the system has been indefinitely shut down, but asked Congress to extend its legal basis anyway. So after March or so, when they told us, or this aide said, they haven't been using it, it was silence from the Trump administration, from the higher level people inside the NSA. No one was actually commenting to actually say that, yes, this has been shut down. So this is the first confirmation from the administration saying they're not using it. The reason that they're not using it is because it's unwieldy. And Dan Coats, it's one of the last things that he did while at work. He sent a letter to Congress urging lawmakers to make permanent the legal authority for the National Security Agency to gain access to logs of Americans' domestic communications under the USA Freedom Act. This was an amendment to the Patriot Act. The law enacted after the intelligence contractor Edward Snowden revealed the existence of the program in 2013 is set to expire in December. But the Trump administration wants it made permanent. This will really help if you take mass surveillance and then the Real ID Act, which is what they're telling us everyone's going to have a Real ID card by October of next year or so. And then if you look at the Real ID FAQs on the federal government's website, whatever one it is, I saw the other day, one of the things that you won't be able to do without the Real ID card is buy a firearm. And then you tie that in with red flag laws. You're getting this kind of combination of really, really, like, we've had a lot of nasty powers already. And I know I talked about the Federal Reserve and destroying the gold standard last week, Friday. But then you add all of this to it, and things are getting really bad, in my opinion. And even if they aren't using it aggressively on everybody, the fact that they're creating the authority, they're building these powers into the government, and they want to have them be permanent, means someone is going to come along and use them in far worse ways than they're being used right now. That's my side opinion on that. The unclassified letter, Charlie writes over at New York Times, signed on Wednesday by Dan Coats in one of his last acts as the director of national intelligence, also conceded that the NSA has indefinitely shut down that program after recurring technical difficulties repeatedly caused it to collect more records than it had legal authority to gather. The fact has previously been reported, but the administration refused to officially confirm its status. And I've got the link to this particular letter from Coats. It's an unclassified document that I guess he sent out on the 14th. It's stamped August 14th, 2019, so last week, Thursday. He says, I write to express the support of the intelligence community and administration for the permanent reauthorization of the provisions of the USA Freedom Act of 2015 that are currently set to expire in December. These provisions provide the IC, intelligence community, with key national security authorities, and we look forward to working with the Congress on their permanent reauthorization. Permanent reauthorization. So there are these three other surveillance programs that they want to reauthorize. Those were probably just going to fly through. There's almost no opposition, and it's primarily used by the FBI. Almost no opposition in Congress. This actually adds a wrinkle to it, and I know some people tell me this is like a level of 4D chess. We're protecting privacy while demanding a permanent reauthorization of Section 215 that supposedly is so unwieldy and can't be used, ineffective, can't work. They still want the power to do it because what they're doing is they're trying to figure out how to make it work in the background. They're probably still using it, in my mind. They're probably still using it, even though they're claiming they're not. Maybe they're doing test runs on smaller bases because they want to figure out how to make it work within the confines, at least the very broad confines of the USA Freedom Act. Mr. Coates' letter, back to the New York Times article, said the administration supported making those three provisions permanent as well, these other surveillance provisions that the FBI uses, rather than merely subjecting them to another extension of several years, as Congress has previously done. In general, what they do is they give it a 3, 4, 5, 6 year renewal time, and then there's got to be some debate. And even though they keep renewing this stuff, in theory, in principle, I would always rather have them do it for 1 year, 3 year, 5 year, 10 year, whatever it may be, rather than permanent, because at least it forces the conversation to happen again in the future. And if it's short to mid-time future, it gives all of us actually a chance to get the job done. We've got to prep. We've got to educate people for 3 or 4 years on the problem of this. And when you don't even have that opportunity, things are far, far worse. So he sent this letter over to Congress saying this has got to be renewed. These three provisions, and then, of course, the call records program, which they're not really using right now. Now, keep in mind, for those of you who think that the Trump administration is good on surveillance, they are terrible on surveillance, just like the Obama administration was, just like the Bush administration was, just like every single administration has been going back to the mid-70s and even further. They're all terrible. They have zero respect for the Constitution's Fourth Amendment, period. And we know early last year, in January of 2018, the Trump administration, right around the time where this so-called FISA memo was coming out. Actually, maybe the timing on that is wrong in my head, but certainly reauthorized for 6 years the 702, the Foreign Intelligence Collection. And if you actually go back and listen to my episode, again, back in March 6th of 2019, talking about how NSA spying has not stopped, I go over Section 702 in a lot of detail, explaining how even though they're claiming this is just for foreigners, and I would argue that they shouldn't be doing bulk collection of anybody in the first place, but this is definitely not going to be just used on foreigners. It never has been, and it allows them to basically tap into the communication cables that go across around the world. Very little communication in a 6 or 5 or even a 3-hop system, very little communication is actually just happening within the United States, especially when you're talking about the internet, and most phone calls are technically through voice over IP these days. If you're calling someone on a cell phone, it may bounce to Berlin. And I actually went through and I did this bounce test on that episode showing how a simple website request is actually sending data to various parts of the world. And as soon as it goes to different parts of the world, then Section 702 kicks in, and then they're collecting all the information anyway. So the Trump administration last January 19, 2018, this is what Trump said, just signed 702 bill to reauthorize foreign intelligence collection. Trump wrote on Twitter, this is from Reuters, referring to legislation passed by the U.S. Congress that extends Section 702 of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act. The law renews for 6 years. 6 years. With minimal changes, the National Security Agency program, which gathers information from foreigners overseas, but incidentally, and of course that's an incidental collection, means basically all of it, collects an unknown amount of communications belonging to Americans. And then, of course, if we're just talking about the administration, we also know that there's a problem with Congress. This summer, Representative Justin Amash and Zoe Lofgren proposed an amendment to an appropriations bill just in June, so just a couple of months ago, that would have effectively prohibited the warrantless collection of data from Americans under Section 702. So this was extended, and they're saying, look, we're just not going to, Congress is going to change our mind on this. We don't want this. And of course, the U.S. House voted it down by a huge number. Both Republicans and Democrats were against restricting this type of surveillance power, and it got shot down 175 to 253. And this comes from an article by Mike Meharry that we published on June 20th, 2019. And this is how Mike put it. As if you needed any more proof, the vote on the Amash-Lofgren Amendment proves once again that Congress will never do anything to rein in the federal surveillance state. And in fact, and I referenced going back to the 70s, Congress has had over 40 years to address privacy issues. Because back in 1975, Senator Frank Church, the Church Committee, he warned us about the surveillance state, saying that they would it would empower, at the time, pre-internet, pre-cell phone, what the powers that the NSA had at the time in 1975 created the potential for, quote, total tyranny. Not that we had total tyranny at that time, but the powers enabled the government to have that. And now you ramp that up with mobile communication, internet communication, cell phones, and the power that the NSA has that has been expanded far beyond that. And Congress has done nothing. We're talking almost 45 years later. Is it? My math is terrible, man. I went to government school and I didn't learn a lot of basic stuff. I have to rely on YouTube and my iMac to figure things out. 44 years ago. 44 years ago. Thank you, calculator app. That Congress was warned that the power of the NSA could create total tyranny, and they have restricted nothing. All they have done is made it worse. Now, you could say that they cut back a bit based on what the Raw Patriot Act was when it first passed versus the USA Freedom Act in 2015. But still, the USA Freedom Act is far worse, gives them far more power than they had three, four decades ago. So it keeps growing and growing and growing. And now, rather than having the standard practice of just renewing every few years, the administration now wants it permanent. And for those of you who think that they don't, I'm very confident that the fact that the administration, that Trump isn't tweeting out that he is against this, and hopefully I'm wrong at this point, hopefully he's tweeted out between then and now, I have not seen it, that he's opposed to this type of program, I think he's going to be all for it. And so not only is he pushing for red flag laws, he's support of asset forfeiture, but then we have this as well. So it just keeps ramping up, ramping up. Over in the live chat, I want to say hi to some people over on Facebook as well, because I missed you early on. I wasn't set up well. Raphael, Steve, Johnny, Jet Walsh, Dioberto, Jose Jimenez, Eric Weber, and a few others. Truth Free says it's like Gray State. That was a documentary project or a film project that was kind of showing how this would all play out, where the I think the guy doing it may have committed suicide, who knows with suicides these days. Hi to Pamela Young as well. Truth Freeze is absolutely correct when they say it's all for safety, security, and, quote, for the children. That's the argument that they make, that this is for terrorists. And even in this actually very good report from last week, Thursday, from Charlie Savage, he actually repeats the government line, starting it out, that this is a program that is there for the search of terrorists. Phone calls and text messages in search of terrorists. And maybe they're claiming that they're doing that. But do they need the text records and the call records of everyone to catch a terrorist? I don't believe so. I think they're actually treating us as the opposition. And they're building the authority to actually have profiles and data on every single human being so they can figure out who opposes their programs. Justin says he was volunteered for suicide without his knowledge. Yeah, maybe, maybe. And also said earlier, Justin, good line where you said they won't limit themselves. And no, this is absolutely not good. As Larry Clark mentioned, well, crap, that ain't good. Certainly not. And there is an opportunity to try to stop this. I know groups like EFF, EFF.org, Electronic Frontier Foundation, and the ACLU are really pushing people to call senators and call congressmen to oppose this, tell them to not vote to renew. And I guess it doesn't take a lot of time and energy. And I shouldn't really tell you to not do that. But let's be real here. We cannot trust politicians. We cannot trust them to do the right thing. I don't expect them to. I don't expect them to do the right thing, even if everybody calls them. But you know what? It doesn't take a lot of effort, and EFF.org and the ACLU, if you're willing to go over to ACLU, I know a lot of our supporters here are not fans at all, but EFF is a very good site that focuses primarily on surveillance issues. So EFF.org, you'll probably find an action item to stop surveillance. In fact, let me see if I can pull this up here. EFF.org. Maybe there's some kind of an actions. Take action. So EFF.org. Take action, hit the action center. They have net neutrality, Congress. Here we go. End the NSA call detail records program once and for all. I will add this to the show notes as well. And they put it this way. After, oh, and I should have pulled this up on the screen. So again, if you go to EFF.org, you click into their menu and you look under take action. It'll take you, you just have to scroll down a little bit. They have a few other things as well. But they write it this way. Over nearly two decades, the NSA has searched millions of Americans' telephone call records, all without a warrant. Oh, that pesky Fourth Amendment, right? For the vast majority of these calls, any suspicion of wrongdoing. We know that various programs like the License Plate Reader Program, they collected 2.5 billion scans over a couple of year period. And it was like in the high 90% of people that were never even suspected of criminal activity. So they're just sweeping up everyone's information. This is a general warrant. This is something that actually led to the secession, the revolution against the British Empire. And now people are almost voluntarily supporting this kind of thing now. Well, EFF says it's time to end the mass telephone call detail records program, the CDR, once and for all. Tell your members to support ending it. There are two other pieces of legislation that actually specifically call for an end to it. I'm not sure if anything positive will ever pass out of Congress, but at very least, the more people that hear from you on this type of action, I guess there is still somewhat of a chance that they won't renew this permanently. And maybe the so-called resistance, the so-called Democrats in the resistance, the Democratic-controlled House, maybe they'll grandstand, kind of like how the Ted Cruz Tea Party people grandstanded. They were fake opposition when Obama was in power. They would do anything in their power to vote against Obamacare. And now that doesn't even seem to be an issue. Over the last couple of years, that has barely gone anywhere. You had people like Ted Cruz voting to fund it, even after he was willing to filibuster to end it while Obama was in office. So maybe some of these Democrats, you can pressure them and say, you know what, you got to oppose Trump. And you know what, if that works, I don't care if they don't have any principle. So again, I don't think it will. I don't think any of this will work, but I'm not sure what else to do. Of course, we do need to nullify this, but we don't want to see it renewed. Looking over at the live chat, for a moment here before heading out. Truth Freeze, one thing ACLU has right, they are often very good on surveillance issues. Wesley over on Facebook says, yes, this is correct. It's about building profiles against us. Justin, calling my local politician here in Oregon will just up the ante on the surveillance they already have. Tillamook, that is. Carol Poole, people need to stop voting in the thugs in with big donations. Doesn't take that much research. And Van Barrett says, keeping us safe from ourselves, whether we need it or not. Yeah, they just like more and more power. So anyways, this is not positive news, but I wanted to get you guys up to date. I know I've done a lot of episodes on various surveillance things, whether it's license plate readers or stingrays or this NSA program, the call records program, Section 215, 702 surveillance, EO 12333. So this is just a quick update on that. I appreciate you spending some time with me. For those of you who are waiting for me and I was a little bit late, I apologize. There were some tech issues over at Restream that I got to work around to get streaming live. To get all the show notes, the links, and previous episodes, make sure to go over to 10thamendmentcenter.com/path to liberty. And of course, smash the like, leave some reviews on iTunes, share the link to the episode and other ones with your friends and family. And I really, really appreciate you spending some time with me today. I'll see you again on Wednesday morning at 9:30 a.m. Pacific time. Thanks for watching. Have a great day.